I continue to remind you that God puts us where He wants us to be, where He needs us to be, right where we're supposed to. You know, the month of October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And I haven't seen my pastor, Reverend James, it's been several years. And he hasn't attended the Baptist Convention in all the years that I have been the pastor. He now lives in Cross Lanes. He goes to the Baptist Temple in Charleston. He and Annette came to the Baptist Convention in Parkersburg. And after the pastor's meeting, we went downstairs to the exhibit hall, and right there at the door, the first person was Annette James, and she went, "Oh, Kevin!" And I was like, wow, I mean, gosh, you're here, and I'm here. And then, so that's Annette and Reverend James. They look great. Annette has some issues in remembering. I do too. That's why I use lots of post-it notes. And I think she's doing okay. And Reverend James is just the same and joking around. And you know what Reverend James reminded me of? And many of you probably remember this. And I remember when Reverend James was preparing to leave. And he said in a business meeting that you'll probably go through two pastors before you find the one that you'll keep. He said, "Now, Kevin, I've been gone for 18 years. Have you been there for 10 years?" I said, "Yes, Reverend James. I'm on my 10th. This is my 10th year as being the pastor." And he said, "Well, you have 15 more to go." Because Reverend James was here for 25 years. And I said, "Well, I sure hope so." And he just really appreciated me. I was just real happy to sit down with him, as you see there. And he was just going on about how proud he was of me and asking about a lot of you. If Don Miles was still here, so he's still here. He's not in here right now. Right? And he asked if my dad was still overseeing the things that were happening in the church. I said, "He sure is. Right now we're putting a new roof on." And before I forget, so if you notice, there's this ladder down there by the door. And there were several more ladders there this week. So when I came into church, I just walked into church like I always did. Well, there's like nine of these guys in the room. Like, "Hey, Pastor, Pastor!" And I thought someone was going to fall and hit me on the head or something. I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "Hey, don't walk under those ladders." And I said, "Why?" He said, "That's bad luck." I said, "Oh, I don't believe in that." I irritated him all day because I just kept going, "I need to go to the lighthouse." So I said, "Oh, Pastor, stop doing that. Stop doing that." I said, "Hey, you guys quit worrying about me. Get the roof fixed. Quit worrying about me." And so I said, "Yeah, Dad's still taking care of those things." So I was just really blessed by his encouragement and those words. And Annette James always used to tell me, "Oh, I think you need to slow down. You're doing too much." When I was the youth pastor, "You're never going to find a wife." She kept telling me that. "You'll never find a wife." Well, I did. She kept saying, "You got to slow down. You're spending all that time with those kids." I said, "Oh, Annette James." So anyway, she might have forgotten some things, but she said, "I get your bulletin every week. Kevin, you need to slow down." I said, "Okay, Mrs. James, I'll do my best to listen to you." So Reverend Annette James certainly sent their love to our church. And so when I think about appreciation, and you know, if you appreciate someone, don't wait for this one day of the year. If you appreciate someone that they've done your life, do it now. Okay, every day. I say that to you at Mother's Day and Father's Day. If you appreciate someone, tell them that. If you love them, if they've done something in your life, you need to tell them that. And so, as I said, this morning isn't about me or Billy. I'm just thankful for the ministries of this church. You know, Reverend James, when I was in college, I would come home and say, "Hey, we don't need a youth leader." And I kept thinking of all these excuses. I was big time. I mean, I was like vice president of the student council. I thought I was big time. And student council Circle came to, "Oh, Reverend James, I'm going to do that someday." Because I thought it would be a good resume builder, being a teacher and all that. I should probably work with the kids at the church. It might look good. And someone might think, "Oh, that's nice. We'll hire you." And it took me 6 years to get hired. But anyway, he said, you should do this. And I kept telling him no. And I'll never forget, it was wintertime. And Julia Curry actually was helping me at the time. And she, I think she was at home, and I was living in Fairmont. And so I called her. I said, Julia, I don't think we're going to be able to start tonight. She's like, why? I said, it's snowing. She goes, is it? It's not snowing that bad here. I said, oh, it's snowing in Fairmont. It was like a shade of snow, just a slight covering. And so I said, you call Reverend James. She goes, oh, no, Kevin, I'm helping you. I'm not in charge. You call Tom that you can't come. So I called Reverend James and said, hey, Reverend James, I mean, I'm not going to make it. I don't think I can make it from Fairmont. I said, are the roads that bad? I said, I'm not going to make it, Reverend James. And so then that whole week, I just lied. My pastor, what am I thinking? What am I doing? And so I felt bad, and he knew it wasn't snowing. My mom, of course, knew it wasn't snowing. So I'm thinking, oh gosh. So about Wednesday, I saw Reverend James. I'm going to be there on Sunday. He said, the roads clear up out there in Vermont. So I'll be there on Sunday. Count me in. And he just encouraged me to keep doing that. And man, I'm thankful that he did. I was telling you about that list I have. Well, I went through that list. And, you know, I think about, man, the first time that we took kids to the beach, I thought, what in the world have I got myself into? Craig Baker and Clark Riley and Nicky Bell Castro and all those kids. I'm thinking, what in the world have I done? And we went to the beach, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, this Billy Wayne guy is something else, man. I mean, I'm just going to let him do all the talking and make the kids come to GI. This is awesome. And we, Billy Wayne and I for years were doing, beach trips and IA camps. You know, I said one year, I said, that's it. We're not going to IA camp anymore. All these kids go to IA camp and find their boyfriends and girlfriends and wives and husbands. They all moved away from here. I'm mad at you, Billy. We still have your tire jack over there we've been using for years. To pull up the chairs at the lighthouse. I'm mad at you. And so these kids were going to learn about Jesus, sharing Jesus, and finding their mates. And he shared that this morning. And you're like, gosh, I want everybody to stay here. I want these kids. These are my kids. I want them to be here forever. And you know, every year, we would come up with a shirt. And actually, I have a tub of all those shirts. Unfortunately, none of them fit, but I just want to keep them, right? And I'm hoping that maybe someone, you know how you take those shirts and you put them in a quilt, and you have them in a quilt? Maybe someone will do that someday. But my favorite of all time, and it's scripture, and I'm going to, that's what I wanted to share this morning. My favorite all time BYF shirt, which is actually what our ministry is about, letting your light shine. We started, I remember when the lighthouse was built, gosh, some people were like, oh, I don't know if we should do that. That's a lot of money. Yeah, we should do it. We don't need any more parking lots. We should invest in the lives of young people in our community. Man. And so, from 1995 to 2008, I had the opportunity, and most of these with Billy at the beach, baptized 117 young people. Now, you might think, gosh, 117 people in maybe, 13-year span, but 117 people that Billy Wayne and I baptized together, most of them at the beach. And that's why I thought it was so important. Man, the first year we had the first kid get baptized, I mean, man, we got to start now. We got to start now selling pepperoni rolls, Vicky Grimm selling pepperoni rolls. We got to start selling pepperoni rolls. We got to sell Krispy Kreme donuts. Remember all those Krispy Kreme donuts that we used to sell, even the ones that we're dirty that one year. Remember that, Ron? Yeah. We gotta get these kids to the beach. They gotta find Jesus, and we're gonna baptize them on the ocean. And I was passionate about that. So many people thought I was crazy and tired of buying things. And last night, looking at that list, gosh, 117 people. And then I was sharing that with Billy. They said, think about those 117 people. Think about all the people they touched. Think of all the people they might have led to Jesus in the ministry of 30, and all the seeds that were sown because of them. And so I share that this morning, not because of me, but I'm thankful for this church and that God called me to be the youth pastor and now the pastor, that I had the opportunity to be a part of the lives of all those people. And I pray that all those people that have been baptized and come through this church, that wherever they might be today, are still letting their light shine. In Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. You are the light of the world." Do you realize that this morning? For years, I tried to help young people understand that you are the light of the world. And this, in spite of everything that's going wrong at home, all the troubles you have right now, that you have given your heart to Jesus. And you are called to be the light of the world. The kids named the lighthouse. You remember the old house the church was frowned upon, because we tore down the oldest house in Shinston. I was young back then, didn't really care about history. Who cares? We have kids that want to learn about Jesus. It's old, it's ugly, it's falling apart. It's used for youth ministry. They won't care. The kids won't care. They'll love it. I'll never forget that one night we were over there, and I don't know, something happened in the basement, and smoking was all over the place. We had kids all over Shinston running out of the lighthouse because we thought the place was on fire. Actually, the sump pump, the water wasn't going out. There wasn't fire in there. And so then I thought, man, you know what? We had 35 people in there. That may not be a good idea anymore. We're letting our light shine, but it may no longer be safe. So then we tore it down and built the lighthouse. And all those years, and even now today, not just because of the lighthouse, but God's called us to be the light of the world. Do you realize that? That it's not just about being here today and being here every time the church is open and giving to the pantry and all, man, all the ministry that's going on in this church, that is important. But in doing all those things, everything that you're engaging in the name of Jesus through even this church, is that you might be a light to the world. Let your light shine. Remember that t-shirt? Maybe blue, let your light shine. I'm going to get one that fits, right? If you turn the light on, what do you turn the light on for? Turn the light on for so you can see, okay? You turn the light on, you don't cover it up when you turn it on. So if you give your heart to Jesus, God says he has a plan for you when you surrender to him. Go tell everybody. Go be a light to the world. I don't care if you're 99, 2, 4, 15, 18. You are the light of the world. Wow. I stuck with that all those years. Let your light shine, it says. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Wow. Let your light shine. Are you doing that? I think this church has been doing that for years. We've been letting our light shine, reaching out to the community. We just started our newest ministry in helping fostering and adopting parents with the things that they might need at the parsonage. Someone said to me the other day, said, what are you all doing at the parsonage? I think he wanted to rent a What are you doing with the parsonage? And I said, oh, we got great things going on in the parsonage. We have a clothing ministry. We just had to help a family that got burned out of their house in Hawaii. We had everything they needed. What a blessing it was. And now we're trying to help families that want to foster and adopt children with all the stuff they need. And this guy said, that's a shame. It's a good house for rent. I don't know. I think he goes to a Catholic church or something. I'm not sure. Or the Methodist church, okay? So, and I say that just joking around, but actually, I don't think he goes to church. So I just looked at him. And he said, yeah, that'd be a good house for rent in Shinston. That's a shame. So I know him, too. And I actually don't think he goes to church, but I've been thinking about that. And I'm thinking, nah, the next time, so I've been praying about, the next, it's really bothered me that he said that. That's a waste of the parsonage. Well, we could let someone rent it, right? But think about it, God gives us opportunities. And so we're using the parsonage now to let our light shine. And I share that this morning because this church has always done that. I believe in my growing up, and I was brought here with Reverend James all those years. This church has always invested in its children and youth, and has always done what it could to reach out to the community, to help in the community, to share in the community. And we've tried in doing that. Certainly have worked along with the Methodists and the Catholics and the Presbyterians and all the churches in our area to do this ministry together. And actually, we just got some help the other day from the Catholic Church and the Methodist Church to help with our community dinner. So we, in letting our light shine, doing that, helping others to learn that too. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. See, people see what we're doing. When your light is shining, people see that. and they appreciate that and they're thankful for that. But the reality is God sees your light shining. And that's really what matters. God sees your light shining. So, again, you are the light of the world. You are a light of the world. For years I've been trying to help people understand that. For years I've been trying to learn that and live that. And so that's my message to you. Thank you for allowing my light to shine in this church. That's where I learned it, here in this church, to let my light shine. That people might come to Jesus. People might know Jesus. That's all they need. That people would come to Jesus. You are the light of the world. God wants you to be the light of the world. You say, oh, I can't do what Pastor Kevin does. You don't have to. I can't do what you do. Because all of us are called to do different things. We're all in this together. And we're all doing this together. See, if every church and every Christian and every person that knows Jesus and says they know Jesus would let their light shine, wow, it could really change the world. Let your light shine. Then others may see your good deeds. And most importantly, when you let your light shine, you're glorifying God. May it all be for His glory. God, we thank you this morning. God, we thank you. If there's anyone here this morning that, gosh, needs to come to you or make a decision or needs to come home to you or whatever it might be this morning, we pray they do that. God, that we quit waiting to join the church, get baptized, or be saved and surrender their life to you. God, thank you for this church. I appreciate everyone that's here this morning. I appreciate everyone that's been a part of my ministry and supporting me. I look out and see lots of parents who have certainly supported me from the very beginning and appreciate what I've done. God, I thank you for that. I thank you. I appreciate you, God, for this church. Thank you for this church. God, as we come to close our service, God, whatever you're asking us to do, may we do it in Jesus' name.